greatly, and I'm glad to be back here. I really enjoy the announcements here. Ninja Night. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, all these little nimble ninjas, you know, running through the obstacle course. I would be the not-so-nimble ninja going through the obstacle course. But you did forget one announcement, though. It's only 48 shopping days until your adult Sunday school or adult Christmas program. Just thought I would, 48 days, that's all you got. So, I mean, better be planning for that Christmas party. So. How many of you have ever been to the wilds of New England? All right, how many of you are here this year? Okay, all right, good. Several of you, good. We always invite you back. Thank you for sending your teenagers and your juniors and for coming for ladies' retreats, men's retreats. We appreciate you a lot. That's what we like to do. We like to minister to people. We want to give people the opportunity to hear God's truth. We want to use the unique benefits of Christian camping to serve people by presenting the truth of God with the love of God so that lives can be changed to the glory of God. So we can't do that unless there's people on the campsite. So thank you for coming. Thank you for sending people. If you don't have children in your home, just adopt one and send one. All right? Adopt one off the street. Wherever you can find them, just send them. And we're happy to have them. Tonight, I know that this is the Sunday evening crowd. Like I said, you're the faithful who are here tonight. So I know that we can go a little bit deeper than normal. So I'm gonna go into a subject that I have studied, and I can't even begin to explain that I, or even begin to believe that I've figured it all out. But we're going to study the term grace tonight. Have you ever had someone do a favor for you? When we say, hey, can you do me a favor? We use that term a lot, right? Well, what do we mean by that? What do we mean by, hey, can you do me a favor? Could you bring me, you know, something to drink? Could you loan me your pen? Could you let me borrow your kidney? You know, whatever the case would be. That is an amazing story, by the way. All right, that is really, really, I don't know who Philip is, but he must be quite a guy. He is a member here. Well, hats off to Philip, and I'm glad. Congratulations. Anyways, we use that term a lot, getting back on course. We use the term a lot about favor. Hey, could you do me a favor? Could you do this? Could you do that? I was a freshman at Pensacola Christian College, and my brother did me a favor. Now, my brother was a senior when I came to Pensacola as a freshman, and he said, now, Steve, one thing you need to know is there is no such thing as tie check. Now, I didn't really know what he meant, but he was doing me a favor, because one of the great initiation things that guys would do to their new freshman roommates would be to explain to them that there was tie check and that they needed to take all of their ties on a coat hanger over to the dean's office to have the deans approve all of his ties. And sure enough, I saw a gullible freshman walking across the parking lot with their coat hanger of ties going over for tie check. And I was so glad my brother did me a favor and told me there was no such thing as tie check at Pensacola Christian College. Now, that's kind of a dumb favor. Tonight we're going to talk about the greatest favor that God ever gave to us. The greatest favor that God ever gave to us, and that is grace. Grace. Now, like I said, I don't fully understand this. There are many definitions of grace. What are some of your definitions of grace? Do any of you have, like, a definition that you use when you think of the word grace? Unmerited favor, and you certainly can't go wrong with that one. Anybody else? Yes? Very good. God's riches at Christ's expense. Not going to argue with that one either. Not going to argue with any definition, by the way. Yes? Okay, getting something we don't deserve. Grace and mercy go together. All right, that's great. And so, you know, as I studied this, I was very confused because as a camp guy, I hear speakers every week, and I hear a lot of speakers throughout my 30 years, and they all seem to have their own definitions of grace. And I thought, why can't we just get one definition of grace? And as I studied the term grace, I found out quickly that I think it's because this thing is so rich and so broad that it's hard to really bring it all together in one definition, in one short, concise little definition. So as I studied it, I believe I got a little better understanding, and tonight I want to pass along that favor to you. Now, the English word grace is used in our King James Bible 170 times. Now, only 39 out of the 170 are in the Old Testament. All the rest are New Testament. And you can probably see that in the Old Testament, it talks more about the law, but in the New Testament, we're under grace. And so there's a lot more discussion about grace in the New Testament, so that would be a normal thing. A couple things to observe about grace. Grace comes from God. Now, this is an interesting point that I had not thought about. This is God's. God owns and operates grace. He is called the God of all grace. So when God gives us grace, he is actually giving us part of himself. This was an interesting concept to me when I studied that out. One of the ways God shares himself with us is by giving us grace, which is part of his nature, part of who he is. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So the scriptures repeat over and over that God's grace this and God's grace that, the grace of God, grace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ, etc., etc. So John 1, verse 16, "And of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace." And so Jesus was considered grace upon grace. And it's just an amazing thing. Now, where was the very first mention of the word grace or favor in the Bible? Anybody think? Which says? The first person notated with grace is Noah. But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is an interesting word. Both New Testament and Old Testament words, Hebrew words and the Greek words, whenever you study the definitions, you know what they always come down to? Favor. Grace equals favor. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. So you can never look at grace without having some form of the idea of favor going along with it. All right? You following with me here? All right. So then we have to then ask the question, what is favor? Okay. So when you ask someone for a favor, you are asking them for an act of kindness that you really don't deserve for them to do for you. You know that when you're asking someone to get you a glass of water or whatever from the refrigerator, you are doing that because you don't want to get up from your comfy spot on the couch or in front of the fire, right? So you're asking someone, hey, would you go out of your way since you're already up and make life a little bit comfortable for me, do me a favor and get me something to drink, right? You're asking someone to do some form of kindness that's undeserved. So as if there's not enough definitions of grace, here's mine. Grace is undeserved kindness, or excuse me, let me back up, undeserved help that comes from God's undeserved kindness. So anytime I get some kind of help from God, that's favor. I never deserve any kind of help from God. So grace has to be undeserved help that comes from God's undeserved kindness. God is a very kind God, and therefore he helps his children. Now, take that concept and throw it into many of the verses you know about grace. What's one of the most classic verses about our salvation that uses the word grace? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace ye are saved, through God's unmerited, undeserved kindness, we are saved." Okay? Can you think of any others? How about our ability to grow in Christ? Peter said, "But grow in grace, in God's undeserved kindness." God wants to help you grow, and he's going to give you help undeservedly to do that. There is instruction. "For the grace of God has been revealed to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live instead soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So the grace of God is what has appeared, and it's teaching us. And so instruction from God, his grace, he's doing us a favor. It's his undeserved help that comes from his undeserved kindness. So start, whenever you hear the word grace, start thinking about those terms. It's really, even the song, Amazing Grace, amazing help that comes from undeservedly from God. It just fits, does it not? It just fits with amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. We find out in James that grace is there to help us overcome sin. We find out in 1 Corinthians 15:10 that God gave grace to the Apostle Paul to work hard, to labor. He said, I labored more than everyone else. Yet it wasn't just me. It was the grace of God that worked in me. That undeserved help that came from God's undeserved kindness was what worked in me to help me work and labor. There's just so many references to this. We all need God's favor. I don't deserve it, but I need it. So the question then comes up, because I need so much help in my life, how do I receive grace? And this is where it gets a little interesting, all right? So you have to follow with me a little bit. Understand first, as you study the word grace all the way through scriptures, that nowhere in the Bible are you or me commanded to ask for grace. Now, we do pray for grace, don't we? I'm not here to tell you you're in sin or anything else if you ask God for grace. But I want you to think about this. God never tells us to ask for it. Nowhere in Scripture. We're really not even commanded to receive it. Why? Because God's grace is available to us at all times. Let me illustrate. When you walked into the room tonight, I didn't notice, but I don't think it happened, but I didn't notice when anyone came into the room that you had your aerometer with you. You were checking to make sure there was air in the room. None of you walked in the room holding your breath. I think it's safe. Yep, there's air in here. Whew, okay, all right, safe to come in. Why? Because we know everywhere we go on this planet, there is air. It's around us all the time, right? So we never go around asking or checking for air. God's grace has been promised to be sufficient. It's always available. It's always there. And in the same way, we're going to find out that there is some measure in which, just as you would open up your lungs and breathe in air, so you and I should be using our spiritual lungs to inhale grace. We're going to explain a little bit about that in just a moment. So as a general rule, we never ask for it, and as a general rule, we are told to be ready to receive God's grace, to be in a condition where we can receive God's grace. Follow with me. So the first big way in which we receive, first condition, maybe you might want to say it that way, is we must be humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. It clearly tells us that God gives grace to the who? Humble. But what does he do to the proud? He resists. Anyone know what the word resist mean? To set against? To oppose? It's a military term. Exactly right. To set against, to stiff arm. The idea is like David and Goliath. Israelites on one side of the mountain, the Philistines on the other. They set themselves in battle array. That's the idea. So God sets himself in battle array against the proud. Wow, you think you're going to get any help from God when you're proud? No. Humble people receive God's help. There are 13 references that clearly reveal that God gives grace to the humble. And God wants you to have grace. And that's why I don't think we need to ask for it. Because God is standing ready to give it. It's available all the time. The only condition, you just need to be humble, because God doesn't give grace to the proud. So the first thing that we see, if we're going to receive God's grace, is we have to be humble. The second thing is, now this is going to sound contradictory, so stay with me. This is a Sunday night crowd, and you guys are staying with me good. This might sound contradictory, but it's not. Number one, humble yourself. Number two, go get it. Go discover it. Hebrews chapter 4. Would you turn there with me? I want you to see this verse because it's such a great verse. Hebrews chapter 4. It's worth notating. Hebrews chapter 4. Most of you are probably very familiar with this passage. Here the writer is talking about, towards the end of the chapter, our high priest. Verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because we have this high priest, and because he's been tested, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, in contrast, what kind of throne do we deserve to stand before? A throne of judgment, absolutely. But instead of a throne of judgment, we've been invited to come before a throne of grace. This is an amazing thing. And now, quite honestly, if God decided to set up his kingdom just down the road here, and you could set up an appointment with God, you know, as much as that would be awesome, I'd be scared to death. Wouldn't you? To walk into the throne room of God? What does the writer here say? Let us come boldly. God's saying, come on, come on. And what do we learn when we get there? Well, we learn to come to the throne of grace, a throne to find help. Undeserved help from God's undeserved kindness, that we may obtain mercy. There we see mercy and grace. They go together. And what we find, grace. Now, the word find is a very, very interesting word, all right? It's a word that you find oftentimes associated with favor and grace in the Old Testament. But Noah found grace. It's the idea here. It's just the Hebrew word and the Greek word are the same here. It's the idea of discovery. He discovered this undeserved help that came from God's undeserved kindness. Interestingly, this is the only reference in the New Testament that has the word find with it, which I think is very interesting because Hebrews is so steeped in the Old Testament, pulling all the truths from the Old Testament, that the writer brings that choice word, I think he did it on purpose, that we might discover, just like Noah did, that undeserved help. So we're on the idea here, if you want to receive God's grace, you must humble yourself and you must come to the throne of grace to get it. And notice, though, that we discover it. Have you ever discovered something? I've never discovered a continent or anything like that. But I'm sure when you go and you're looking for something, there's that aha moment, like, oh. Have you ever been looking for something in the attic? When you go to the attic, you all know what I mean by searching for things in the attic, right? Or in wherever you store all your stuff. And you're looking for something, and as you are looking for it, you find other things. Like, oh, I forgot I even had this. There's that moment of, oh. Ah, oh, look at that. It's a discovery of, look what I just found. This is incredible. If you walked out to your car and you saw this round thing with a rubber band around it, it was all green, and it was a roll of $1,000 bills. You discovered. By the way, if you do that, that's mine. I dropped it somewhere. Just kidding. So discovery has this idea of, ah, oh, I found it. Look what I found. And so he uses that concept here. let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might discover, like, whoa, look what I found. I found help here. So follow with me a little bit, because this is actually something I had to spend a lot of time thinking about. If I'm not commanded to ask for it, which this kind of sounds like I am, right? But actually, I'm told to go find it. I believe that we receive grace as we enjoy fellowship with God. When we humble ourselves, go into the presence of God, cast our cares on Him, and then we receive this grace, this strength, to joyfully serve Him regardless of the circumstances. I hope you've had this happen in your Christian walk at some point in time. You sit down and you open up your Bible, and maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're not. But you sit down and you start reading your Bible, maybe you start doing a little study, and you're like, man, what did Peter talk about here? What was David talking about in the Psalms when he said this? And you start thinking about it, and you're meditating on it, and all of a sudden God just, there's like a light bulb moment. You ever had one of those? Like, oh, that is so, you have to go tell your wife or your husband, like, this is so cool. Look what God showed me this morning. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel energized at that moment? Do you feel an infusion of grace into your life? There's an aha moment. God, look what you just showed me. Where did it come from? You coming boldly to the throne of grace, and you discover help. And that new truth then goes and helps you throughout your day. Maybe it's a truth that you needed in the, right at the right time. You needed that passage of Scripture. Oftentimes, when I'm hurting, my human response is to not go to that quiet place. For some reasons, I am tempted when I am hurting or when I'm struggling to run the opposite direction from God, because I see Him as the source of my problem. God, why did you allow this to happen? And God says just the opposite. Come to my throne. Come spend some time with me. You will discover something. You will discover my help. You will discover my grace. And I will show you mercy to help you in your time of need. What kind of people come to the throne of grace? Needy, humble people. You see how those two things go together? But when I walk in pride, I don't go there. But when I'm humble, I walk right into the throne. And I say, God, here I am. Teach me. Show me. Help me discover who you are and what you have said. And I'll tell you, you know those moments when you kind of live on that the rest of the day, when you have seen a truth from God, or you have just enjoyed fellowship with God, you saw the gospel, you reviewed the gospel, you saw again your unworthiness, and you just spent time thanking God, and you walked away from your time with God just energized. That's all you can say, to go live your day, because you spent time with God. So, by way of application, we'll pull and park here just for a second. What is your time with God like? Are you frustrated in life? There's a throne of grace that you may boldly enter to if you are a believer in Christ. He invites you. Don't refuse it. Because we are tempted to blame God for our problems at times. Instead, God says, come on, just come. Spend some time with me. Think about me. Meditate on my words to you. Talk with me. Communicate with me. I'll give you all the help you ever wanted. Now, does that mean that you walk away and all of your problems have just kind of dissipated? No. They're still waiting for you, aren't they? But there's a new strength. There's new help. There's a new confidence. Even though the circumstances are challenging and maybe even painful. You know, you tracking with me? This is grace. Undeserved help that comes from God's undeserved kindness. So, how do we receive grace? Number one, we humble ourselves. Number two, we go find it. We go discover it. We go get it. But of course, we must put a little warning in here. We are capable of refusing God's grace. If we choose pride instead of humility, we can stiff arm God's grace and not receive. Have you ever been to a funeral where someone was stiff arming God? Have you ever seen that kind of misery? It's tragic. But have you ever gone to a tragic accident and a funeral and the people are, they're weeping, but they're joyfully weeping? Have you ever seen, like, how are they responding like that? How can they do that? It's called grace. It's because they know who their God is and they know what he has said. Now, what do you need God's grace for? What favor do you need God to do in your life? Where does grace need to show up in your life? Instead of asking God for grace, go get grace. Go spend time with God. Cast your cares on him. Tell him what the issues are. Tell him what you're struggling with. You see that over and over again with the Psalms. David does that. I'm not telling you shouldn't ask God for help. Go cast your care on God. He's got very big shoulders. And you will find grace to help. So the title of tonight's message really is Pass Along the Favor. What do you do with grace? The Bible actually has several things to say about that. Number one, we're supposed to grow in it. Grow in grace. God's made it available to you, so grow through it. Go get it. Enjoy it. Grow in it. Number two, obediently live like you have it. Obediently live like you have it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, I want you just to be strong in this. Live out this grace. You go spend time with God, you go discover grace, and go live like you have it. God, I'm not sure how I'm going to make it through today with all the things on my plate, with the heaviness of this trial that you put into my life, or whatever, with the pain that's in my life, whatever. God, I'm not sure I can live today. How do you know if you've received God's grace? You live in obedience to God. And you don't get angry. You don't get bitter. You live with joyfulness instead of anger. Now, I'm not saying that any of us in this room are ever going to do this perfectly, okay, just so you know. We're not. But this is how grace works. Obedience, in my opinion, is both the evidence of grace and the energizer of grace. Do you believe God can help you? Then go out and live out what he told you to do. Sometimes we're waiting for some kind of special answer from God when he's already told us in his word what he wants us to do, and we know it. Go obey. Obedience is both the evidence of grace and the energizer of grace. I don't think I can live this day. I don't know if I can respond right to this coworker. I don't know if I can respond to my husband or my wife or to my child. Well, you go out and obey God and watch the grace come through. God, I don't think I can do this. God says, you can't. My grace is sufficient for you, though. I will help you. I have enough grace for you. So grow in it, obediently live like you have it, whether you feel like it or not. And number three, pass it along. There are several ways in which God wants us to pass along the favor. You know, we should wish grace on each other. I told you that we're never asked or commanded to ask for grace anywhere in the Scriptures. But when you pray for people that are going through difficulty and challenge and struggle, God, help them to receive your grace. Help them to be humble. Help them to receive that grace that you have promised to them. You wish it on them. Paul, if you've ever read his letters, you ever notice how he starts with grace in the first few verses, and he seems to end all of his books with wishing grace. He wishes grace on them at the beginning. He wishes grace on them at the end. It's kind of like the connectors that put all the train cars together. Starts with grace, ends with grace. Why? Because there's really not a greater way of greeting someone than to say, may the grace of God be with you. How else could I be more kind to you than to wish that God's undeserved help by his undeserved kindness would be all over your life? That's one of the greatest ways we can wish it to other people. Did you know another way we could pass along grace is by using our spiritual gifts? Where did that come from? Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according, and he goes on with all the spiritual gifts. He starts it by saying our spiritual gifts are gifts of grace. Do you realize that you are withholding grace to other people by not using your spiritual gifts, particularly as this church body? That's one way to pass it along. Some of you are prophets. Some of you are exhorters. Some of you are teachers. You know what you should be doing? Exactly those things. You should be. And if you're not, you are not passing along the favor that's been given to you. God wants you to do that. 1 Peter 4, as every man has received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of what? Of God's manifold grace. We're good stewards of grace when we use our spiritual gifts. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know what mine is. Me either. But I believe that every believer should be passing along every measure of the gifts that we have. So if you have some measure of teaching, you should be, whenever you can, you should be using it. I'm probably an exhorter. I'm not the real hard-hitting preacher. I want to exhort everyone. I want to just encourage everyone. That's more my style. And so that's what I should be doing. That's why your pastor preaches the way he is, because God has gifted him a certain way. That's why evangelists preach in a certain way, because God's gifted them that way. Some of you are amazing at serving in the church. You have the gift of serving. Some of you have the gift of giving. Great. Keep on giving. You are passing along the grace to other believers. Number three, by serving God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, Paul said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Go serve God. Go use your time, talents, and energies to serve God. That is a gift of grace, and you bless other people when you live out that grace. Number four, we pass along grace by defeating bitterness before it defiles the people around us. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, sometimes we think bitterness is just affecting us. Bitterness affects so many people. It's one of the most blinding sins I see. Teenagers come to camp and they're angry and they don't know why. I think something has to do with the fact that we consider bitterness on the level of like the really big sins. Like, I might be angry, but I'm not bitter. Well, read the spiritual context, the biblical context of bitterness. The writers are always talking to Christians. It's one of the things that you and I deal with. Resentment, unresolved resentment and anger. That's what bitterness really is. So deal with bitterness so that we don't fail of God's grace. Because when we fail of God's grace, it affects a lot of people. It affects our family. It affects our church family. It can affect people at work. Bitterness can affect a lot of things, because oftentimes we are blind to it, and therefore we're blind to the effects of it as well. So how are we passing this along? Wish it on people, use our spiritual gifts, serve God, defeat bitterness. And then lastly, use our speech. Minister grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication, no rotten words is literally the Greek. No rotten words proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to those that are hearing you. And by the way, there's a lot of people hearing you to whom you're not speaking. Have you ever overheard a conversation? and been affected by what you heard in the tone? Oh, that guy's really ticked off at something. No corrupt words should come out of our mouth. But we should be building each other up by using words of grace. Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always seasoned with grace, that you may know how to answer every man. God wants this grace to come out in our words. So, God has done you a favor. He's given you grace. It is our responsibility then to pass along the favor. God has shown undeserved kindness to us. Sometimes that's really hard for us to pass along undeserved kindness because people don't deserve our help. You ever tried to help someone who wasn't grateful whatsoever for your assistance? I find that really challenging. I find it challenging to serve my own children when they seem and appear unthankful for what I am doing for them. But you know what? We should serve people in the same way God serves us. He gives us undeserved help because of his undeserved kindness. That takes humility, and that takes seeing the big picture. So tonight, as we conclude, pass along the favor. Give grace. Love grace. Admire grace. Spend time with God and discover grace. All right, let's close in prayer tonight, and then...